Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C. Oji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 6. Let's start from there. Total recovery. Tell your neighbor, total recovery. It's possible to recover all. He said, behold, I will bring health. I will bring it health and healing. Now I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. Behold, I will bring health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. So there is the abundance of peace and truth. Are we getting what I'm saying here today? So God is saying there is something called abundance of what? Peace and truth. Abundance of peace, peace and truth in excess. That will be somebody's portion. Now, let me start by way of introduction and explain a little bit to us this morning. I'll lay a foundation. Then by the grace of God, I will build up from that foundation this morning. It's going to be a good time. You will learn a whole lot of things. And we're going to pray at the end of the day and trust God that we can find extra 5 minutes to sing before we close the service. Amen. I don't know the way the choir people are looking at me as if they're not aware. Glory to God. So at some point, listen now, at some point, okay, try not to be distracted. Just avoid your phones now. Just use it for the message alone, please. It will help you. I like to always remind us that we're in God's presence and God wants to speak to our hearts. Amen. So, you see, at some point in our lives, you will find yourself, one time or the other, it is possible that we experience what we call loss. Are we here together? It is possible that we experience what we call loss. Whether we like it or not, there are times in our lives we probably have maybe the loss of a loved one, maybe somebody that is even old, but they are gone. They are no longer there. Are we here together? Some other people will experience loss of, you know, finance. Maybe you invested somewhere and something just happened. Are we here together? Sometimes it could be health challenges, something temporary. That's why the Bible says your light afflictions, they are but for a moment. Are we here together? They are but for a moment. Now, sometimes you might even have a vision that you're going to start up a particular business, you do a particular thing, then maybe somewhere or somehow along the line, you are not able to accomplish that. Now, it looks like a loss that particular season. When we lose somebody that we love so much, it looks like a loss. Every time, you know, you usually they will say things like, oh, we just lost this person. I remember when my dad passed on, you know, and people were, you're reaching out to us, consolation and all that. And we are very sorry for the loss. And each time I drop the call, I'll say there's no loss. The man has made impact, no loss. I refused to accept it. I wanted to help myself feel good. But I didn't know why I was crying the day he was being buried. But I know I was helping myself. Do you get what I'm trying to say here now? So somehow you realize that there could be things in our lives. Loss seems to be a universal experience of one thing or the other. Different things can happen. But the truth is that God does not want us to stay in that place of defeat and admit that the storm has messed up everything and we cannot get anything repaired. God doesn't want us to do that. And that's why God has a system called the system of recovery or restoration. Is anybody getting what I'm saying this morning? Yes. So God wants you to understand that despite the fact that loss is a universal human experience, you know, different people will react to loss differently. I'll tell you negative ways, maybe 5 or 10 ways people respond to loss. Negative ways people respond to loss. So that you can start preparing your heart and break out of that kind of response, because God wants us to have a better life. Amen. So the Bible is filled with stories of men and women who experience great loss in their lives, sometimes due to circumstances beyond their control, some other times because of their own choices. They made wrong choices. It's possible that you made an investment and it was a wrong choice and you weren't aware of it. Sometimes some strange people just come your way and, you know, try to deceive you. Some years ago, I don't know if I told you the story already, my friend called one day and he said, hello, see, start coming now, start coming. I wonder where we're going to. the energy with which he called me. So I was like, oh, just tell me. He said, like, don't worry about hearing it. It's not coming. I said, ah, don't worry about hearing what. I need to know. I said, if you don't explain, I'm not coming. Because he was asking me to come with my elder brother's car. He had traveled then. So he wanted me to come. Why am I coming with car? He said, we don't blow. We don't become rich people. Ah, I said, God, my life, all of a sudden like this. So I said, no, before going with that car, let me ask this guy questions. So I said, what exactly? He said, a guy messaged him that the guy said he's coming from the airport, that there is something that he's holding now, that thing, if we sell it, our life, which if we have not sold it. I thought the way it was sounded, I felt he had the Ghana must go of the money and my car was supposed to come and bring Ghana must go. You know, some that guy can't explain. And when he said that thing, I was really excited. But as soon as he started telling me the story, I said, if we sell. I said, the thing he's talking about, have you seen it? He said, I've not seen it, but he's with it. He's with it. We are meeting at Yanokbaja now. I don't want to trek. I want to act like an executive person now. So bring the car, let's go. I said, I said, guy, no fuel. You know, when you don't want to do something, you have plenty of excuses. I wasn't sure there was fuel anyway. So I said, see, he was like, no, so he wanted to explain. I said, see, you know what? Just find a way around it. He had borrowed money from his mother, you know, exchange the money in dollar because siblings are abroad, borrowed money, the dollar they sent to the mother, then people abroad send dollars. Now they don't give you any dollar. If you send dollar, you say dollar, they will say no, open your GT accounts, bring your Echo account. That's what you hear. So somehow the mother brought a few of dollars. He rushed down to Ikeja and he quickly did the change and he was rushing to meet the guy. Now when he rushed, he didn't tell me again because I didn't bring the car. Because me too, I wasn't. I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't explain exactly. So he rushed down immediately. He got to Yanokbaja. He gave the guy the money and collected the thing. Then the guy zoomed off. He was so happy with the thing. He was still very happy. He said, "Hey, I don't tell you now. I don't tell you." So he called me. I've collected it. I've collected it. I said, "Oh, yeah, start coming home." I said, "Wait, check what he gave you." His eye just opened. Check what he gave you. Like you didn't even check it before. He said, no. I said, check it. When we opened it, it was a black nylon with a carton, and they had, you know, all these plumbing materials. Jesus. Hey, my friend was depressed for a while. If you ask him any question, we will not answer you. I said, why the best for everybody? He said, no. I said, this story, one day when you marry, you tell your wife. He did not tell his wife. You know, when you are not confident to tell somebody how foolish you were. The foolishness level was very high. So they gave him the plumbing materials. When he came back home, he dropped it. I said, Omo, we don't reach. We no reach any reaching. So what I'm trying to say is that he experienced serious loss. It was a painful experience. He couldn't even share with his wife after he got married. He couldn't share with his wife. I think I was the one that eventually told the lady about the whole story. And he felt like, it's not worthy for a woman I want to marry to know how foolish I have been before in my life. Praise God. So people experience loss. But the way people respond to loss can be very different. Some people respond to loss in very negative and terrible ways. There are positive ways, of course, but negative ways. I'll talk about the positive aspect of it, and that's where my teachings will come wrapping up. Expect a fresh dimension in this teaching, and God will bring light to our hearts in the name of Jesus. So sometimes when people experience love, for some people, they will shut down. That's what they do. They'll stop talking to anybody. They are not interested in anything you are saying. Everybody does not make sense again. They don't want to relate with people. They will start blocking people on their phone. Who made you? Why are you behaving like this? No, don't worry. I can take care of myself. Actually, they cannot take care of themselves. Some other people will build walls around their heart and protect themselves from further pain. And that happens in the case of relationships. If you have had a breakfast, you don't want a lunch or a dinner. So you just shut down and say, no way. When other people are coming, even the right person can come and you will cast the person away. Because you already have lost. You lost something before, maybe because of the way you were treated. And you assume that everybody will be the same. So you just tell yourself that, forget it. Don't tell me that. Men useless. So your father and your brother useless. No, that's what it means when you say all men are useless. Are we useless? No, the one that treated you that way is the one you define and describe. The next one by your side might be a powerful, you know, destiny helper. So don't respond to loss in such a way that you shut down completely and feel like there's nothing else, there's nothing good can come out of men. It's not true. Others might even throw themselves into activities, and sometimes this happens to sanguines a lot. Something has gone wrong, they've experienced less, so they'll just throw themselves into being busy with something. They want to be busy, and so when they get back home, back in the night, they put their hand like this, because they have not dealt with the situation the exact way they're supposed to deal with it. Are we here together? So I've seen people experience loss and deal with it in different ways. Some other people will be permanently paralyzed for life. One experience. Unable to move forward. They can't move forward. Some people may be lost of money. You see them commit suicide. There are people, because of lost money, they kill themselves. They just enter the room and say, what am I living for? You know how many years I used to gather that 2 million of my life, and now it is gone. They'll just wrap something inside water. They will use, they lost money, but they'll use money to buy the sniper and something and drink and die. Why? Because they don't have hope of restoration. They don't believe that something can change. They don't have hope of recovery. There's nothing too bad in life that cannot be turned around. There's no situation so terrible in life that cannot come back. There's always a bounce back in life if you prepare yourself. Am I communicating this morning? Some other people, it's fear of investment. When you just talk about any invest, that many of us were doing the COVID-19 time, you know, different investments came up online. Some of you did. I know, we know ourselves. All of us, we have our money disappear. You know, say this farm, 20% interest. Pig farm, goat farm, rat farm, the kind of farm that has never existed before. They just created the farm. Grasshopper farm, invest, ginger, turmeric, to be deported to Canada, invest. And many of us were investing and were believing that, transformation has come to this country. Farming is the thing. We have said it now. Farming is the future. Farming is the way. And at the end of the day, our money disappeared. Do you know, in the midst of that, some people killed themselves. Some people were trying to run after those people that took the money, look for address in Lagos, and had an accident and still died. The way you respond to loss is very important. That you pay attention. How am I responding to something in case there's a loss? Sometimes loss of relationship, emotional trauma. Get ready, I'm going to teach that one before I wrap up. Yes. Emotional trauma, loss of confidence in opposite sex, fear of getting married, fear of having intimate relationship again. That's the way the person is responding to loss. So when people are complaining, no, excuse me. So why? Say, no, don't worry. That's what now they do. Useless people. Don't come again. No, sir, I don't get sense. But the question is, do you have sense or you're becoming foolish? Because we have to check it at the end of the day. Are we here together? So that's that person's response to loss. Sometimes the loss of marriage, not even relationship, but marriage. Fear of not being able to marry again. There are so many ladies, when they, maybe something happened in their relationship and their husband left them or whatever it is, they have that mindset that it's not possible. Me, I'm a woman already. What is my life? It's men that have options. Women don't have options. Listen, daughter of Zion, you're a full option. And you should know it, that you are not just an ordinary option. You are God's damsel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And there are many ladies who are single moms today. They can also marry again. Things can get better again. Their lives can get better. But they have gotten to that place where they don't even believe. They don't believe again that anything can happen. Each time they look at the mirror, they see a 70-year-old woman. But when people look at them, some other people have even seen 24-year-old. But she's seen 70. She has described herself as a grasshopper in her own eyes. Loss has brought her to that situation. Am I communicating? And some men too, they are like that. Experience loss. Maybe the girl, he has used all his investments to send money to Andrea and train the wife and everything. Then something happens. The guy just blanks out. And he has told himself, I cannot love again. Of course, there are guys today, they are 50 years old. They are still searching for wife. 60 years, 55. They are still looking for wife. You know why? When he was 25 and proposed to a girl, and he paid her school fees, and the girl graduated after he became 30 and was expecting that now that she's 25 they will get married. The girl now saw another person, a married person. Since when he became 30 years old, now he's 55. 25 years after, he has not seen any other girl. That girl has formed a permanent picture in his eyes. Remind me, church, I'm going to teach again how to break soul ties. I've been teaching plenty of things on relationship in recent time. Just remind me. Admin, take note, please. So he has that connection with that lady, and because of that connection, he doesn't see himself breaking out. All other girls will be passing, say, wait till they their body. When my Amara day here. Oh, Amara, you do me bad thing. You do this one. Oh, guy is 50 years old. He's still mourning. His younger brothers are married. They have children. Very soon they will have grandchildren. Now he's still there. He's responding to loss negatively. He's responding to loss like someone that does not have hope and does not see that anything good can happen again. Am I communicating, church? Yes, let me leave the other way the response. Second service, we'll discuss that one. So the way people respond to loss matters a lot. Because there's a way you respond to loss and you will lose and everything will sink. And there's a way you respond to loss and all of a sudden everything begins to blow some again. Imagine a man who plants a garden, and after the man has succeeded to plant the garden, then 3 weeks later comes around and he sees the flower blossoming and doing very well, or 4 weeks after, then a storm, serious storm, comes and clears everything in the garden. Now the man gets to that point and he discovers that, wow, what exactly is happening here? Some other people, out of annoyance, you'll just block off everything and leave the place. I'm not coming again. But somebody else will be patient and watch the plants and say, okay, how many can I still gather? What's the hope that something can come out of this? And start seeing if you can nurture it. Then you give that guy time, maybe a period of another 1 month or 2 months or 3 months, things begin to get what? Better. Many of life's failures are people who never knew how close they were to success before they gave up. Don't always give up too fast. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? God is able to restore things. God is able to recover things for you. And I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. God is bringing restoration your way in the mighty name of Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 30 from verse 1 to 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30 from verse 1 to 6. I will dive in straight into keys to total recovery because of time. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekite had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. Remember, the Bible records things for purpose. It says they did not kill anyone but they carried everything away. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice, and they did what? They wept. Now, the natural response to whenever we lose something is that we will shed tears. It's not wrong to shed tears. It's not wrong. Sometimes you allowing the tears flow helps your body balance. Are we here together? And that's why when people come around and say, oh, maybe they lost somebody or whatever, and they are crying, I don't say stop crying, stop crying. I just say it will be fine. It will be fine. Because allow them to cry. Somebody has a heartbreak. You say, why did they cry? Why did they cry? Why are you saying that? Let the person cry. If you are the one, you will cry. When I was there, I cried. So when people came and said they have heartbreak, I would say, oh, it's okay, don't worry. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. As I cry, I won't say stop crying now. No. Cry, cry. You need pockets. Can I help you? Gather the tears. You can remember it sometime. You know, because one of the things about tears is that it helps you, you know, ease the tension, the pressure and everything. You just pour it out. And you know, tears, if you have cried and you have not gotten to the point where your cry is full, you will not do like that. Have you gotten there before? Oh, brothers and sisters, if you have not cried to that point, it will not touch you well. If they break your heart and super glue cannot mend it again, when you cry, you get the that shows that the cry has barely fooled you. Glory to God. Now that's the truth, because you cry. I have been there. I know what it means. In fact, you cry part one, then later you settle down, you cry part two. Then somebody comes around and maybe a guy and a girl moving their hands together and walking around, you cry part three. Somebody sends you a message and the message just passed maybe on your status and say, wow, two love birds. You cry part four. They didn't say anything about the birds. They just say two love pets. Anything that reminds you about the situation, you start crying. Now, it's not bad to cry, but you cannot cry forever. Tears will only ease the tension for the moment, but it cannot solve the problem. Are we here together, church? Am I communicating? What I'm going to share with you, the first point I'll share with you, it's not very easy, but I can guarantee you that is the real way. Maybe after you are done crying, you can switch to the points. That is the real way. Sometimes we lose loved ones and you hear people say that, where was God when my mother died, when my father died? And you know, we have told you that even God was seated in heaven when his own only begotten son died. I don't know if he cried. Because if God can laugh, maybe he can cry. Does it sound strange? It sounds strange. Jesus wept. And the example of Jesus we have is who? God. The example of God we have is Jesus. So Jesus wept. So that means there are sometimes you see God look at things and like, kai, 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 kai. And some believers are making Jesus weep. Some people are still weeping over their matter. When they talk, you don't go agree here. Even when God sit down in the night, look at them. He start weeping. May God help us in the name of Jesus. That will not be anyone here in Jesus' name. So the Bible says here that then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Men weeping until they had no power to weep. It's not a woman affair here, it's a man. And these are grown-ups, fathers having children. That means they carried all their children, they carried their wife. At least if they left the wives, they would have started another. You know, man, you know the time. But they carried the wife. It's like carrying the factory and the workers. If you carry the workers, leave the factory, we'll produce, we'll look for other workers. Abi, carry the raw material, carry everything. So David sat down there. The first response was that he had to weep. It's not part of my point. It's just what David did. The Bible says David's two wives. He lose two. If it's one, he would have tried. Even two of them. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, that intelligent woman. They carried that one too. And the Carmelites, and had been taken what? Captive. Now David was greatly distressed. Naturally, after shedding tears, the next response will be distress or despair or depression. Anything that starts from D, always take care. That's why if a guy starts name start from D and wants to marry, be careful. Because D. You know, D can be dear and D can be depression. And D can be dial and despair. Dial, don't worry, I'm not talking about you. It's just D. So the Bible says here now, David was greatly distressed for the people who spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was what? Grieved. That's another thing that happens when you lose something. The next is grief. Grief for a lost one. You're grieving your business, your job, or something that has happened. You know, some people, because of the experience they have had, they stay in the position of grief almost all their lives. They can't recover because they don't want to recover. Sometimes maybe they are not aware on how to go about it. And thank God we're talking about it this morning. And I believe that somebody under the sound of my voice, as these words are coming forth like spirit and life, God is going to cause you to experience total recovery in the name of Jesus. The Bible says David had... He was greatly distressed. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, and the soul of the people were grieved. Every man for his son and his what? Daughter. But David did what? Strengthen himself in the Lord his God. In other words, when David got to that point where he was distressed, he was troubled, and everything seemed to have gone wrong, David now said to himself, I cannot continue in tears. These tears will not solve my problem. At least, see all these guys. Now, you know the funny thing? These guys were planning to stone David. David's wife was taken. David's children taking their own wives and their children taking. Why were they planning to stone David? Have you thought of that? Why David? Why? He's the leader. He carried the leader's bone too. Nobody knows why it happened. Everybody's suffering the same thing. Are we getting what I'm saying? But somehow it was David there and they were about to stone him. I believe the reason they probably didn't stone him was they remembered that he did not kill Saul when he had the opportunity to kill Saul. They remember that this guy has been a good guy. We were in distress. We didn't have some things. And that's why it is always good to remember. It is unrighteousness to forget. I believe these guys must have remembered the impact of David. Because at this point, they were mighty men. They were already fighting. David had taught them how to fight. David had strengthened them. David had built their lives. And immediately the thought of stoning David came, they were grieved. But somehow, they had to get themselves again. And the Bible says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, the word there that David strengthened himself in the Lord talks about David lifting up his voice in the midst of his pain. Then he begins to praise God. The way you strengthen yourself in the Lord, of course, look at the David strengthening himself in the Lord. Will you just say, I strengthen myself in the Lord? No, this is an attitude of praise. So David had to move from the place of distress. David had to move from the place of despair. David had to move from the place of discouragement. And what gives you strength? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And where that comes from is praise. When you lift your voice rejoicing with joyful sounds, you lift your voice praising. I know there's a heartbreak, but 2 weeks after the heartbreak, I can still lift my holy hands to God. I know that my business is gone this way and I can't explain, my money is down the drain, but I can still lift my hand to God and begin to praise Him. It's possible that I have lost a relationship, but I have not lost my life. It's possible that you lost a marriage, but you have not lost your life. Your sanity is still there. Some people, because of the loss of the marriage, they ran mad and they started walking on the street naked. Are you getting what I'm saying today? That you still have something. There is so much that you can do. You still have yourself. You are still alive. The first thing and the first key in the cycle of total recovery is praise. Write it down. Praise. Praise. Praise is very important, because every time you begin to praise, you experience a raise. How many of us have realized that even if you feel depressed and there is a song, music playing, all of a sudden it's as if life is coming into you? Am I communicating here? And flesh does not know how to praise. And that is why you have to be able to steer that thing from your spirit. Because normally, that's why the normal response of the flesh is what David did here. He had to cry. That's what flesh would do. To be in despair, that's what flesh would do. To grieve, that's what flesh would do. Then the Bible says, but... everything changed with that word there. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Somehow David remembered maybe the things that God had done in the past. David remembered how that God had been faithful before now. David remembered that they were just coming from a battle and they actually won the battle. They were coming with good news and Satan wanted to abort their joy. And David said, my joy cannot be taken. It's not possible for you, Satan, to make a mess of my joy today. The Bible says he strengthened himself in the Lord. So regardless of whatever it is that you're going through, regardless of the challenge, after you have finished shedding tears, after you have been blessed, don't stay there for too long. Because some people stay there too long and they die there. Some people stay there too long and the devil built a stronghold in their heart, showing them how God is unfaithful, God is wicked. If God was there, how was he watching? And you lost this and you lost that. If God happens to love you so much, why will he allow this happen? Why will he allow that happen? Child of God, listen to me. God does not work like that. If you study the pages of the scripture, you will see that these things are natural. They happen to men, all men. Our consolation is not only in this world. Our consolation in God is full, it's beyond here. But even here, he has promised us restoration. Are we here together? Recovery. That you will recover. That you will recover. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you will recover. When things like this happen, you just want to lift up your voice and you begin to sing to God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never. Sing like never before. Oh, oh my soul. I worship, worship his holy name. Sing bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. I'll sing like never,
sing like never
before. Oh my soul, worship, worship his holy name. As you raise your praise, the devil begins to look. Where is it coming from? Is it from the place where there's supposed to be grief? I don't understand. I'm expecting these guys to be in tears. I expect this lady to just get something and kill herself. I expect this guy to start shouting and saying, very stupid God, very useless God, why will he treat me like that? That is the expectation of the devil. But in the place of praise, you beat the devil's expectation. You beat his expectation. Somebody under the sound of my voice, God is going to give you a heart of praise that will bring about your raise this morning. In the name of Jesus. Why? The devil is in confusion, trying to wonder. And he checked and said, wait, let me see. Where is that noise coming from? The last time I checked, I ensured that this thing happened. I ensured that I did everything. Whether he's the one that did it or not, he will take responsibility for everything bad. So he comes and make it feel like he's the one. Sometimes you just outlook away from the devil. You stay in that place. In the midst of that praise, it's possible that tears will start coming from your eyes. That's the kind of tears that make sense. Then you raise your voice. Ndimozi binigwe, anasi hallelujah, anasi hallelujah. Jehovah Mary, despite whatever happened, kana manabaya. Ndimozi binigwe, anasi hallelujah, anasi hallelujah. Jehovah Mary, say glory. Don't ascribe anything to Satan. Give it to God. It might be a heartbreak, but still praise God. It might be a loss of a loved one, still worship God. That investment might have gone wrong, still bless the name of the Lord. Blessings
and the praise to the one who reigns forever.
In the camp of the enemy, now you will realize that your emotions begin to reshape, rebalance. All of a sudden, grief begins to move out, despair begins to move out, pain begins to disappear. In the midst of that pain, you discover that the next kind of tears you are shedding now is not the tears of sorrow again. Then you now start shedding the tears of joy. The tears of joy will start coming. Somebody under the sound of my voice, she will not have tears of pain and sorrow anymore. In the name of Jesus. In the midst of that praise, God will start reminding you of other things that he has done for you. And the same you that should have been grieving, your language will now change. What no man can do, he has done for me. What no man can do, he has done for me. And what no man can do. Will not sit over this situation. Satan will not take advantage of this situation. Pain will not have a better part of me. Grief will not have a better part of me. And you're saying, Jesus, I enthrone you. Jesus, I put you as king in every situation. The Bible says, give thanks, for it is the will of God to give thanks in Christ Jesus. You want to experience recovery, you must learn how to use the instrument of praise. Those who complain and stay in grief, those who stay permanently in the place of despair, they will not experience restoration. There's a system with which to get things back. The Bible says, let the people praise him. Let the people praise him. He said, then the earth will yield her increase. In other words, there is an increase that the earth still has to yield for you. And I came to announce to somebody under the sound of my voice that is thinking, God, is November already. What is happening? I declare, may God change the sound and the tune and give you joyful sounds. Give you joyful sounds. I didn't hear you shout aloud the amen. Why must I praise? Number two, praise gives access to the throne room of God. Psalm 100 verse 1, enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That means when you are praising, you are coming into his court to report the matter. You are not struggling with it by yourself. Because many times when you struggle with it by yourself, the pain, the sorrow, the everything will becloud you. And Satan will start rejoicing and say, yes, that's what exactly what I want. In fact, I want this one to so break the heart of this man, he will not invest again. His generation will go in poverty. I want this investment. Because of this, I'll put fear of investment. Anytime they talk invest, he will just disappear. That's the plan of Satan. But listen to me, in the midst of that situation that looks terrible, when you begin to praise God, get ready because something is about to happen. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Oh God. Something is about to happen. Many people are not aware. They are not aware, so they just sit where they are. Why must I praise? Remember I said, number one, it brings you into God's own address. That means the Bible says he is enthroned in the praise of his people. Number two, it gives you access to the throne room. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his court with what? Praises. Number three, praise changes your garment. Kai, I love this one. I love this one. I love this one. I remember that song, but I don't know if I can sing it. But if you know it. God has given me the oil of gladness, the garment of praise. Hey,
a joyful sound instead of ashes, glory in the place of his name.
Kai, can you sing that song for me?
And he God has given me the oil of gladness, the garment of praise instead of mourning, a joyful sound.
Can give you a switch all of a sudden. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3. Look at what the Bible says there. Isaiah chapter 61. You want to put it from verse 1? Fine. Isaiah chapter 61 but verse 3 is where I'm focusing on. Yes. The Bible says to console those who do what? Mourn in Zion. To give them what? Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of what? Praise for the spirit of what? Heaviness. That means every time something wrong happens, automatically a spirit comes into your room. It's called the spirit of what? Heaviness. Every time something bad happens, the spirit of heaviness will visit. Anytime you are in a place, you see people mourning everywhere, there's a spirit of heaviness around. And that spirit is waiting to attach itself to any person who will open up. Some people, for that moment, everything will be so heavy, everything will be so tense, and there will be there. Some people will embrace that spirit and still carry the spirit of heaviness home. And the spirit will say, hey, now that you have decided that I will take charge, I will now do what I should do. Then the spirit of heaviness will begin to lead to pain, unforgiveness, so they cannot forgive themselves again. They will now remember the person that they should not forgive also. So heaviness will now bring them into the place of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger. All the other demons will start inviting them. Heaviness, anger, enter. Unforgiveness, show. New address. You say, where? Ah, number 24, Mbolaji Street. The name of the girl, now Joy, but you know they look like a person who get joy. Because you have invited those kind of spirits. No, sister Joy, I'm not talking to you. Just... Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? They say, but peace, but no get peace. See, there are pieces. So make we help and finish. That's how the devil does. So what do you do? When you enter the place of praise, guess what happened? God comes to that place and he takes that garment away. Because when the devil comes, when you are in that kind of situation of loss, he will bring the garment that God speaks on you as if it's consolation. You know, that cry and tears, it looks like it is. And naturally, it should be the natural response. But you are not supposed to stay there for too long. Because as you are staying there, Satan will take advantage and bring the garment of heaviness. But when you start praising God, the Bible says he will take away the garment of heaviness and do what? Exchange it for the garment of what? Praise. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God might eventually be what? Glorified. Despite the situation, God wants to take glory. Is anybody getting what I'm saying this morning? Yes. That's one of the strong reasons why you must learn to praise God. If you cannot find strength in the place where things have happened like this, because I know sometimes it is very difficult to open your mouth and start praising. Some people can find strength after, you know, teachings and building themselves. But if you cannot find strength, open your phone, get your playlist, adjust immediately, change your atmosphere by all means. Get your phone and just get to your playlist. If you have an AirPod, fix it. If you don't have an AirPod, you have a Bluetooth speaker, fix it. Close the door. You need to be there alone. Are you getting what I'm saying there? Because I don't know what will happen there. You might shed tears there. Anything can happen. So you don't want everybody to be in that kind of space. You don't want everybody there. So you put on your earpiece and you begin to sing. God is good all the time. He's put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. And through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. You are using a tune to call your spirits to order. You are using a sound to call your spirit. That's what we call joyful sound. You can use it to drag your spirit from the place of despair. Drag yourself from the place of rejection and bitterness and abandonment. And say, you cannot stay here. Did I not tell you what David did? David said, my soul, return to your rest. The place of praise is the place of rest. The place of bitterness and anger, malice and grieving is the place of distress. And you don't want to stay there. Am I communicating? Is anybody getting my message this morning? Yes, and that's why I've told us over and again in this church, the music that you listen to, it has impact on your life. Some people are always depressed. It's what you listen to in the night. The reason some people can never leave pornography, they cannot leave masturbation, they will not fornication, adultery is in their DNA. It's because of what they listen to. By the time you wake up in the morning, listen to, hey, touch me, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it. There's a spirit behind every song. Hear it. Let it be permanent in your heart. It's permanent. Somebody is doing baby dedication, and in charge of baby dedication, they are doing baby dedication. They are singing one corner, one corner. That's the destiny of the child. They are singing already. You are announcing a spirit into the atmosphere and telling the spirit, "This is what I want you to be doing for me." Oh, eh? You use your money to pay weak devils and witches to come and play over the destiny of your child. A child that is supposed to be dedicated to God, and all the sound that we should hear there will be sound of joy and celebration and praise unto God. But some people say, no matter, I can guarantee you with my life and put a bet on my calling that it matters. Go and check everybody anywhere. People are carrying, spirits follow people everywhere they go. We have studied this thing for a while. If there's anything I've taken time to study over the years, it is music. I take time to pay attention and I've checked the spirits behind music. I know it very well. I don't know why I'm saying it, because praise is what God wants. You can sing praise in the church today. After shouting, you enter your room, you play the other one. As you play it, you have invited the other one. The brother will come. Whoever you invite is the person that will take over. Whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, the Bible says that person's slave you have become. The guy one day came and said, it doesn't matter now. We were discussing this thing many years ago. I had gotten this understanding many years ago. I can remember maybe somewhere around 2005. And I was discussing with the man. And he said, forget it. Me, I'll be pastor for my church now. And they listened to that kind of thing. No matter. At the end of the day, we knew where they caught him. Every time, all the old school blues he used to live when he was younger. He said, I can see my baby forever. You want to touch my wife again? He was singing it. Before you know it, he's touching another person's wife again. The spirit will wait until the day of your temptation. And he will know that this guy, I know when to catch you. Devil doesn't come to catch you when you are strong. He comes for your weakest moments. I want to build it. I want us to have a church that is looking away from some things and find peace and joy in Zion. Everything is in Zion. We have songs that have love effect here in Zion. Sing those ones. Because the spirit that is communicating is the spirit of life. Sing that one. Sometimes you need to check the vessel that is communicating the spirit, because it matters a lot. That's not my topic for today. Another day we'll talk. Some sounds, you need to pay attention. Praise, when we praise, we bring God in place. We declare his greatness, we declare his power, we declare his beauty, we declare everything that he is. Let me rush. Number two, time will not permit us. Number two, look at there now. 1 Samuel chapter 30, what he did. My cover about the name and the kapayas. 1 Samuel, where we've been reading, 1 Samuel. Let's do it. Now David was greatly stressed. Now the Bible says, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then the next thing, look at now. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, please bring the effort to me here. And Abiathar brought the effort to David. Wow, look at Abiathar happens to be the priest. So David thought that in the midst of this, I cannot be alone. Anytime you are in distress, don't say, leave me, I want to be alone by myself. Satan will finish you there. You cannot be alone by yourself. One of the ways to recover fast is to look for a company that has the ability to drag you. When a car breaks down, you need a towing van. As they leave the car there by itself, it will rot there, it will spoil and expire. That's how many people expired. David knew who to call. He had many other guys around, but he knew that these guys were not going to do anything much. There is somebody different I should call. Then David looked up and he said, Abiathar the priest is the right person to call. And he said, Abiathar the priest, please come around, sir. And Abiathar came around. Let's enter into agreement. Let's agree with God that something will happen. And he said, let me bring the effort. He brought the effort. What did they use that for? To hear the voice of God. Every time you are in the midst of distress and you are trying to recover from something, don't rush. Wait to hear the voice of God. One relationship break. Before you know it, on Thursday, you have entered another one. Satan will finish you again. Your investment scattered today. Next week, they show one on the internet. But I know those ones that they always advertising too much. They're in trouble. They advertise. Click now. If you don't click it in next 2 days, that expire. Let it expire. Yeah. The righteous does not make haste. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need company that time. You need company, the right company. Agreement can help you come out of a state of pain. When Paul and Silas were in the prison, Paul did not say, Silas, get out. I don't think he said, we're not going to go this missionary work again. Oh, get out. He said, guy, you know what we're going to do? We need to partner right now. And both of them began to pray. And they began to do what? Sing. To get restoration and break out of the prison, Paul and Silas had to partner. When Peter was in the prison and they were about to kill him, the Bible says the church had to enter a partnership. Agreement matters. Husband and wife, when something is missing, call your husband, call your wife. That is when Satan will bring quarrel and argument. By all means, small thing. Before you know it, plate will become quarrel. Spoon will become quarrel. Toothpaste will become quarrel. He does not want you to recover. Call your wife and say, babe, let's do something. We have to unlock the heavens over this situation. How did this thing happen here? Why? Then you enter agreement. I say, affliction will not rise a second time. This thing will not repeat itself. And I see the hand of God coming. As you begin to praise in that situation, you'll be hearing the voice of God on the next thing to do. Sometimes the real people never hear the voice of God is that they have not entered into the agreement that can bring it. The Bible says, and the apostles joined together, and while they were praying and ministering unto God, they were praying and ministering unto God. The Lord said, separate from me, Paul and Barnabas. Anytime two people gather and they put their heart to something, you will hear the voice of God. It's a principle. Where two agree upon the thing, it shall be established. Where two or three are gathered, I am there. Don't go and look for people that are fellow mourners. No. When Jesus wanted to raise the dead at a particular time, guess what he did? Peter wanted to raise the dead. He told the other people that were mourners, please leave the room. You don't have to be here. I don't want mourning situation here. I want to create my own atmosphere by myself. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? Yes. Come out of that place of despair and enter agreement. Prayer of agreement is very possible, and it will help you. When Moses needed to win the battle, they needed agreement of Aaron and Hur to hold the hands of Moses. Agreement is powerful. Are you getting what I'm saying? Agree with those who are going the same direction. Agree with those who can see what's happening. If you find yourself in a situation where it is terrible, don't go and stay with people who have exactly the same terrible experience. Look for somebody who has a little bit that can fuel you. You don't need a drainer. You need a filler. Some people are good in your life, but for that situation, they are not the right people. They are not the right people. They are good people. They are not right for it. You must be able to discern by time who the right person is. David did not go there and say, my guys, come, warriors. No, he didn't need warriors then. Then he needed what? A priest. So he said, Abiathar the priest, come. You understand spiritual things. Let's deal with this matter. And while Abiathar the priest came there, something began to happen. Listen, remember, you start from praise. As you begin to praise, there are three dimensions to this thing. Time will not permit me. I'll close the service. We'll continue another time. There are three dimensions: praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Let me explain. In the place of praise, you are describing the greatness of God, the power of God, the abilities of God. You are announcing all that God is and what he represents. Then in thanksgiving, you are declaring the goodness of God. The Bible says, God is good and his mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. The goodness of God is what you declare in thanksgiving. So you started by praising. Then all of a sudden you start giving him thanks for all the things that happened in the past. Remember the past. Then when you get to that point, you will enter what they call worship. Worship is the dimension where you bow in humble adoration of who he is, and you prostrate before him in reverence. As soon as you prostrate and your head comes down, you will hear the voice. Many people never get to worship. Some people start praising and they drop out. No. Praise will bring you into the court. Thanksgiving will accept, make you accepted. Worship will let the man speak to you, because worship is a sign that you are bowing and say, I'm willing to hear what you have to say. I am waiting here because I have to hear something. I'm not coming out of this place until I've heard what you have to say. That is what worship does. And to recover, you need to hear the voice of God. The Bible says immediately, look at what happened there. Now please take me back there first. So David inquired of the Lord. Can you see now? He called Abiathar. So he inquired. So in the place of declaring gospel and everything, he had to ask question. That's where you ask question. It's not that you go outside the public and I say, if there is God, why did it happen? Where is God? No. In that place, it's God that you'll be talking to. And say, God, thou who sits upon the throne in heaven, superintending over the affairs of men, you have seen what has happened. What exactly is this? I honor you. Your praise cannot be taken away. You are the majestic God, the one who sits upon the cloud of the wing, who knows the secret of the things that I cannot explain. Lord, my tears have come before you. This is my pain, and I bring it as an offering. This is not a tears to make devil happy. It's a tears as an offering. Take the offering of my tears and tell me what I must do so that this affliction will not rise a second time. Bible says, he asks, shall I pursue this truth? Shall I overtake? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover. So that agreement with Abiathar that gave him the effort brought David to the place of worship, and he bowed before God and he inquired of the Lord, God, what am I supposed to do? Every time you want to recover something, ask questions. There are questions to ask. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? You can't just rush back into the investment. No. You can't rush back to that relationship. No. God, is there a character error? Is there something I'm not doing that I'm supposed to do? Is there a way I behave that made this man walk out of my life? Or this woman that is acting like this? Am I a terrible? What is it that I'm not doing right as a man that is causing this rift in my marriage? Lord, speak to my heart. Sir, nobody sincerely talks to God for answers that God will not give to them. When he sees your heart sincerely, he will show you. There are errors that your friends will not show you. In the secret place, God will show you. Sometimes he will refer you to a book. Sometimes you'll be reading through something over again, you'll be seeing the same thing. Then you realize, I've met people after things have gone very bad and sour, they'll say, I was praying one day and God showed me where I got it wrong. I say, correct. This one, watch that person,
you see the life will turn around. But you see the other person that will stay there for 2 months, 3 months, 2 years, 5 years, he's still saying, if God is God, all these things they're saying about God and church and this. No, no, you cannot recover like that. You cannot recover. No amount of blaming will change God. God is God anyways. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Yes. You need to know this. Is anybody being blessed here? Yes. So you take the step. You take your place there and hear the voice of God. Then the next thing, look at the next verse. Next verse, let's go very fast, very fast. He says, so David went and the 600 men who were with him and came to the brook Beshor, where those stayed who were left behind. And David pursued. David did what? He pursued. David did what? He pursued. Now, what does that mean? David took a step of faith, action. Come out of that despair. If God has shown you that there's a character error, go and start buying books. Go and start readjusting yourself. Come out of that place and you discover that the relationship has scattered. My husband is no longer interested in me. He said he's not going to be interested. Then you sit down and start tying up like an old woman. Come out of that place. Go to the gym and change your look and come out again. If the guy has married and he has moved forward, why should you stay back? Why are you staying back? Go back to the gym and exercise. That's a step of faith to recover all. Is anybody getting what I'm saying now? The same thing with the guy. Somebody has left your life and you are checking the Facebook every day. Facebook will finish you. Because in Facebook, if you see people's success, you don't see their failure. Have you ever seen anybody's failure and success? It's Facebook hard. Even the person that is misbehaving, you know, some people, they know how to emotionally destroy others. They are dying, but they have a gift to post only the things making them laugh. So that you are excited, you will feel as if you are losing. It's a lie. I've learned it over the years. Sometimes you see some people, they are the ones whose marriage has crashed, and then they post pass. People with their own, they work, they are even careful, they have not bothered. You now be feeling bad, and your own is working. You're now looking at that one, he's posting from morning to night. Do you know the argument they did before they finished the post? Do you know the slap somebody received before they finished the post? Because you did not post, Satan says that you are not useful. You say you agree. God will give us a better mindset in the name of Jesus. Am I talking sense to somebody here? Don't allow anything take your mind. Don't allow anything get you bitter. Don't allow anything tie you down. Wake up and tell yourself, I will rejoice. My life will get better. My destiny will advance. Don't sit in one place. A lady was in a relationship with a particular guy, and when they were in that relationship, all of a sudden, things went south. And when it went south, you know, the lady moved on. And when she moved on, she realized her mistake, corrected herself, and moved on. Then the guy was still there, gallivanting. Years after, it was one of the guy's friends that saw her, married her. And their marriage worked like water works. I wish I knew what would work. Why? The lady realized where she got it wrong. She corrected her mistakes and her errors. The guy moved on to marry another one, Iskata. Marry another one, Iskata. We now realize that both of them were the issue initially, but this one has realized her wrong, adjusted. To the extent that your friend married her. You marry one, you fail. Marry two, you fail. The third one is the less must stop. I've seen many things around. I just wonder that where is this? Why is life like that? Sometimes when things go wrong, you need to inquire and ask, where am I getting it wrong? What am I not doing? What am I not paying attention to? At a particular point, Kenneth Copeland said his health was beginning to misbehave, and he had told God, I'm going 120. Of course, he's close to 90 now and he's still strong. And he said, no. God told him, he said, you take coffee too much. He had to pray and discuss it with God. Coffee matter. God said, the coffee is too much. The way you're going, this we're going to get to this 120. You have to stop coffee. Caffeine things will not take you there. And he said, since he stopped it, his body became light, everything different. He's moving close to 90 now. Why? He inquired of the Lord and said, God, what is it? You cannot recover if you don't know how to ask questions. Ask from the right sources. Act from the right people. Whether it's a marital thing, whether it's a health challenge, whether it's a business challenge, any kind of challenge, ask from the right source. Time will not permit me to teach us on trauma today. I'll talk about it another day. Yes, I'll talk about it another day. And let me announce that I want to see all ladies 24 years and above, single men and single women. I'll have a special meeting with us. We need to talk correct things and redefine the future that God is having for us. And I see light coming in the name of Jesus. Yes, I hope that's not annoying any other person. Finally, bounce back. Tell your neighbor, bounce back. Yes. As soon as you have taken the step of faith by pursuing, David pursued. When you pursue, when David got to that place where he was pursuing, guess what he did? Let me even say this. When David pursued, he did not get, when he got there, he attacked the enemies. The Bible says pursued and attacked. Because if he pursued and he get there and he say, our wife, as he's still gisting and discussing, they'll kill him. The wife is there, children are there. You cannot look at the guy. No. What that means is that attack. oh, I don't know why I'm going this direction, but it's for somebody in this service. Attack means that you will go to the root of what caused that pain and deal with it. You will go to the root of what caused that situation and deal with it. That's why people stay in trauma too long. Go and check, where is this pain coming from? Where is this thing coming from? You have to deal with things from their roots. If you cut off the fruit and leave the tree, it will grow another one. If you cut off the root, it will never grow again. I will take a full course on how to recover from trauma. Then you will understand that life can be sweet. You can make sense. Go to the root. What caused this financial setback? What did I? Who was I talking to before that I did not talk to? What advice did I take that brought me here? What was I looking at that I did not pay attention? Is it that I'm not budgeting? Is it that I'm not following the principles of financial management? Budgeting, bookkeeping, record taking. Why is my business going like this? Go to the root and attack the situation from where? The root. I know you didn't expect it like that. Maybe you wanted just a prophetic service. You want to be coming back every day, every day. You want a pastor that will do one, touch and go. Come back again, touch and go. God forbid. When I deal with things from the root, it's so that every member of this church can be a solution. And you can go and tell others, this is how to handle this matter. We have found the truth. We know it. And we are dispensers of this reality. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Check it. If it's a financial situation, check. If it's a physical health issue, check. What am I eating? What am I not supposed to eat? Consult a doctor and know from what exactly is the root of this matter. Let somebody show you. The Bible says David attacked it. When you get to the root, what are you supposed to do? Attack it. And when you attack it, then you bounce back and take everything that belongs to you. And your journey starts. Sometimes when you do that, if it's a financial loss, you might need to start again. You might have gotten a shock. And all of a sudden, starting again means to buy an umbrella. Don't give up. Sorrow may last for the night. Joy comes in the morning. The person who decides to bounce back is better than the person who dies in pain and becomes a beggar permanently. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Rise up on your feet.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center. And visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.